Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rich Campbell, you heard him last week in my stead as he co-hosted this show. He is on Twitter at @Rich_Campbell, and he is back on the beat with some actual football going on, or at least the simulacrum of the training variety. Rich, how are you?
I'm great. We'll report today, hear from Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, Trubisky, and then you can hit the snooze button till August 2nd when they finally play a game. It'll be a long preseason.
What do you want to know today? What's on the top of your list to actually find out? Because it's rare times when Ryan Pace makes himself this available. What do we have to pin him down on?
It's a good question. It's something I'm going to think about on my drive down. I think we have to get to the business side of things first with Roquan Smith and try to at least ask about his status. I don't think Pace will be forthcoming or share much of what's going on with that impasse. As of last night, we had no indication that he's going to report today. So keeping in mind that this is a week earlier than normal and that the alarm bells get delayed accordingly, that is the first order of business. I'm a little bit more interested to hear from Nagy today than I am Pace, and that's usually not the case. But because it's his first camp, really want to dig in with him about the thought he's put into structuring it, what he really wants to accomplish, how he wants to run it in terms of tone, in terms of pace, tempo, that kind of thing. As far as Ryan goes, it's interesting because if you look at the roster, the position battles here, the roster battles that you might normally have, they don't jump out at you as much. And for a team that has come off four consecutive double-digit loss seasons, I think that's a bit unusual that they have so many fixed parts right now and they're just sort of counting on these guys to ascend.
Rich, I was thinking about exactly that heading into this camp, about how a team that has not performed on the field is static in their construction. So I wonder then if a question toward Nagy or perhaps Pace himself might be something along the lines of will there be competition created here? Are you going to manufacture some of these job battles to a certain degree? Because once you put guys in the blender like that, you're going to see, I think, you should see some people rise. I wonder if there's spots where you can see some of that manufactured to your eye.
Yeah, and they'll always say that competition is apparent, is present, because these guys are working very hard in uncomfortable conditions. So they really want to try to push people at the bottom of the roster, people at the top of the roster, and it does come down to performance. So for as much as we think we know about guys in certain positions, it does get to play out, and ultimately, you know, these coaches, the cliche this time of year is players pick the team, and that's true. Players also pick the starters. You know, these guys don't have things handed to them. If a player like, for example, Deion Bush on the back end, who Vic Fangio mentioned unsolicitedly in the spring as looking good, as playing fast, as being in the right positions, if a guy like him shows out against the second string, then he gets an opportunity. And goodness knows the Bears have enough practices this preseason to rotate guys through the first string, to try different combinations if they feel like there's some type of value in mixing that up. And then I guess it's up to us to look for those pockets of the roster, right, where this might happen. Tight end is going to be interesting. Deion Sims and Adam Shaheen playing that inline blocking tight end spot where Sims is the more experienced player, but Shaheen has the draft pedigree and needs to take a step forward. I mentioned the back end, the safety position, whether maybe someone could unseat Adrian Amos. Eddie Jackson, I think, is fixed in his spot there. The Bears really like what he did a year ago. Offensive line, you know, if you're really digging into the minutiae, who's going to play in the left guard spot? So there are a couple things to watch. Punter is one of them. Dan, I know you love the punting battles.
Stopwatch
out, you know, calculating hang time on everything.
The only reason I like it, going back to my reporting days, is because to be able to work in every single time mentioning somebody having a leg up in the competition. It was mandatory that had to be done. But and forgive me if this is a stupid question, but I've been trying to think about the effect of the new kickoff rule, because the more I've read about it, the more I've heard referees, former referees, there's a lot of former referees right now are talking about it because of the change over there, but how serious and significant that rule change is. How does that affect special teams roster selection? Because a lot of these decisions around the margins, do you keep an extra linebacker, do you keep an extra defensive back or an extra running back, are based on certain responsibilities on special teams. If there is more speed and quickness and less mass and collision going on, is your roster construction for special teams going to start to change?
Are you talking about the component of the rule that eliminates the 5-yard run-up?
That's part of it. But in general, the idea of the premium being placed much more on speed and quickness than it's going to be on bulk and smashing guys now, because they're going to make it much more like punt coverage, much more having to run back to run forward.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that probably isn't clear at this point. We'll have to see. That the Bears are in an interesting spot with the linebackers in that part of the equation, guys who have been on the team for the last few years as sort of run and hit guys on kick coverage, the Jonathan Anderson, the John Timu, those two guys in particular, who I think they've played too much on defense because of injuries, but in terms of their special teams roles, those guys are out of practice squad eligibility. And so the Bears will have decisions to make there after losing Christian Jones to the Lions. And one thing that was a focus for the front office during the draft was finding linebackers who can run on special teams. And part of this is a function of the 3-4 defense, is the type of linebacker you have. It's, half your linebacker position is devoted to that outside backer spot, which doesn't lend itself to special teams. So you're really only working with that inside spot. And they did draft Joel Iebuniwe to sort of take that role and go with it. But even just consider his body type. He's a little bit more slight of frame, 230, 240. Maybe that's the type of player that excels now on special teams. And there probably are openings for undrafted players to at least make a name for themselves as run and hit guys, sort of hang on the practice squad like Anderson and Timu have done the last couple of years.
You didn't get to my guy who is on my list for preseason star that everybody starts to talk about, or the guy who gets mentioned at the back of your notes package because he flashed in a couple of drills. And that is a guy, Isaiah Irving, who every once in a while last year you see and you have to look at what, you don't know the number, and then you say, oh, who's that guy? Or you hear Sam Rosen mention his name, or now it's Adam Amin and mention
or some
his
name.
Right, or some name, even though it is Isaiah Irving. But I think that could be one of these training camp stars or exhibition game stars this year, who might just have the game slow down enough for him that against twos and threes might show out a little bit.
And I think that was the case for him last year. I completely agree with you that you did notice him with some sack production and being in the backfield a little bit from that outside linebacker spot. And if you're a player like him, an undrafted guy, a guy with no draft pedigree, that's a really good position to be playing for this particular team right now. There are going to be opportunities. If you can rush the passer, you certainly have a great chance to make the team and also stop the run. Kylie Fitz is a outside backer they like as a run stopper, so maybe they're going to lean more towards the pass rush production, and rightfully so, given the questions at that position. But I'm with you. Irving has flashed in the past, and he got some rotational time last year when injuries started to mount. Nothing extended enough to really count on him. But, yeah, when the starters check out and you change your mindset to look for guys who are flashing to maybe grab a foothold, I agree with you that he is one of those guys that showed some speed and disruptive ability.
Rich, you and I talked a lot last week about how it almost feels like there's going to be two different mindsets, one on the offense and one on the defensive side. Offense is about installation and learning and generating, you know, an identity. Whereas defense, it's Vic Fangio doing what he's done for a while with a lot of guys who have been there for some time. I think about Eddie Goldman and the way that Vic Fangio kind of called him to the floor, saying this would be a good time for him to step up. This is a year for him to step up. You mentioned how Fangio has called out Deion Bush and said, hey, this is a guy who could flash. Is this a little bit like Vic flexing some head coach muscles? Like, he gets to a certain degree kind of call guys out and in a good way, you know, ask for more and demand that that defense itself step up from the guys that have been there a while.
That's probably fair. Vic is always known as a straight shooter, and even reading back through some of his comments when he first got here in 2015, that he wasn't afraid to call guys by name, even if the context was needing more out of their performance. And now that he's as established here as he is, having been here 3 years, having ascended the defense to a top 10 group, that he does have that clout. He does have that voice and that impact and the respect from the players. And Prince Mukamara said this back in the spring, that he thought Vic would be sort of an in-your-face, you know, MF guy, really trying to use that type of hard coaching to get the most out of his players. And then Prince realized that combined with that is a funny guy, a really smart guy, a guy who cares about his players. And Vic has, throughout his career, struck that right balance, at least with his defenses. Maybe not in head coach interviews when he's had the chance to do that, but with his defenses, yes. And back in the spring when we asked Vic, we're going through all the rookie draft picks, the day three guys that they picked, and even Roquan Smith, Vic sort of put a stop to that and said, look, I know you guys are interested about the draft picks. Those are the sexy new names, but really we have to get the guys – we're coming back better, and that's really the key for them to improve. So that said, yeah, he is going to push a guy like Eddie Goldman, who's setting up to have a hugely important camp. Maybe there's a contract extension waiting for him at the end of it. And you could go on down the list, whether it's Prince Mukamara not having an interception in the league since 2015, Leonard Floyd even just staying on the field and trying to make up for lost time at the end of last season. And I think we will see Vic, just even from Nagy's deference to him, as leaving the defense to his coordinator, that Vic can even have a louder, stronger voice.
Do you think that Matt Nagy, as careful and as methodical as he is, can do any simulated head coaching practice as far as challenging, as far as clock management, score and situation, you know, stuff that he hasn't done before? I wonder if he could do, I mean, with all the virtual reality they have for the quarterbacks, isn't there something to be said for saying, all right, here you go. Here's a situation. Do you take a timeout? Do you stop the clock? How many running plays can you run to conserve X amount of time? Do you know if he's trying to simulate any of that, having not done it?
So I asked him this very question at the end of the spring, just because I think you can do this on the field. You get 11 on 11, and it's not live tackling, but you've got officials there, you've got scoreboard and clock there, and they do this all the time, practicing end of half situations, mostly end of game situations, red zone situations. It is about situational football, and I'm with you. A big part of this is not just how Mitch Trubisky runs the 2 minute. It's how Matt Nagy manages the 2 minute
right.
clock in terms of timeouts and getting to the line of scrimmage, whether they want to run a play, whether they want to spike the ball. And that's going to be really important for us to continue to stay on Nagy about, both asking him and watching him how they conduct practice. You'll often see in these practices, the coordinator will have a walkie-talkie. It's been Dow Loggins. It's been Adam Gase. It's been Mark Trestman. And the walkie-talkie is live into the quarterback's helmet. And so they are running these with as much game simulation as possible. It's not quite the same. You don't have the pressure. But in the spring, back when I asked Nagy about this, he said that what they've done so far is a lot of classroom work on this, watching games and talking specifically with the quarterbacks. Okay, here's this situation. All right, you see that the team, whatever game they're watching, is getting to the line. What are we doing here? And they're trying to speak it out with a level of urgency that would be, you know, applied in the game, but they are going to have to do that on the field, and I think they will with some 11-on-11 drill work.
Rich, I know somebody will ask the question, whether it's of Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, or both. I just wonder what your expectations are. It's kind of a, I don't know, note-keeping kind of thing. What are the expectations for Allen Robinson and his beginning of camp and his, you know, being healthy and around, just to double-check?
I think the expectation is that he's full go, and he released a video on his Twitter account yesterday that has talked about how the last 10 months have been in one of the biggest blessings of his life, and it was this sort of hype video with a montage of his rehab. He's running in the pool. He's running routes with Jaguars trainers. He's running routes on the Bears practice field. You put out that video, you're making a statement that you better be ready to go and you better be ready to maintain. I assume that a lot of these players coming off major off-season injuries or injuries from last season will have days off sprinkled in. That only makes sense. It's typical, and with a long preseason, that's how this is. So with Robinson, we'll obviously keep tabs on that, but you released that video like he did yesterday, and you're saying, I'm on the field day one. I'm also on the field days two, three, four, and it'll be really, really fun to see how he looks and how he can develop a rapport with Trubisky.
Rich, thanks a lot. I know we'll be hearing a lot from you as camp rolls on. So congrats on another year, and let's get it started.
Thanks, fellas.
That is Rich Campbell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.